The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Eid al-Adha Mubarak, the holiday, the Muslim holiday of Eid al-Adha, lasts 4 days.
Oh, I didn't realize. Okay. And
it almost could rival Pesach or Sukkot.
Right. And
that's not where the similarities end, because Eid al-Adha is the festival of the sacrifice. And it refers to a famous story from way back when one of our forefathers, Ibrahim, was ordered to sacrifice his son and was saved from doing so. We know that story as the Akedah, relating to Abraham's son Isaac. Well, Eid al-Adha commemorates and celebrates the saving of Abraham, or Ibrahim's son Ishmael. So it all goes to show that this diverging narrative goes back quite a long way. It's not something that was invented yesterday.
That is very interesting.
Of course, we are in full preparation for the visit of President Joe Biden, who is due to arrive in Israel tomorrow. There was an expectation that President Biden would be Israel's 1 millionth tourist to arrive since the borders were reopened this year in March. But he was pipped to the post by a lady who arrived from the United Arab Emirates on Sunday, Belinda de Soya Lee Marcello.
But isn't that amazing as well, Sunday, that it's somebody that came in from the UAE? How wonderful.
I absolutely agree. Yes, she was Israel's 1 millionth tourist this year. And I think that that's an amazing achievement, considering the impact of the pandemic and the fact that the borders were closed. So she is Israel's 1 millionth tourist. But of course, President Biden will get a very, very special welcome when he arrives tomorrow. 16,000 security personnel apparently on hand to police things, to make sure that everything runs smoothly. And the White House have formally advised that the president will not be shaking hands during his visit due to the surge of coronavirus in Israel. It is official that he will not be shaking hands. So we are ready for that.
Right, forewarned, and at least it's one less thing for him to remember, or maybe it's one more thing for him to remember, I don't know. I just found it quite funny, and I was saying a little bit earlier, there was always a worry about Donald Trump because he's a bit of a wild card and you don't really know what he's going to say. There's also clearly some nervousness around Joe Biden, just because he isn't perhaps as stable and reliable as we would like him to be.
Yeah, enough controversy surrounds this particular visit. A lot of people interpreting it in the ways that they wish. The Zionist Organization of America have come out requesting the Israeli government not to confer the Presidential Medal of Distinction, which President Herzog is due to confer on President Biden during the course of his visit. A lot of people feeling that this is really more about U.S. politics and Joe Biden having to try to counter the impact of inflation and oil prices and things like that, rather than real international diplomacy. Many people in Israel feeling that he really shouldn't be coming at this time, and maybe not at all. So this is certainly not one of those visits where everybody is feeling particularly excited about.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting. Prime Minister Yair Lapid spoke to President Sisi and received an unusual request from the Egyptian president. What was that request?
Yeah, so this was a call that Prime Minister Lapid made to the Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi on Sunday, ostensibly to wish him greetings on the occasion of Eid al-Adha. But apparently President Sisi went a little bit further, and he asked Prime Minister Yair Lapid to look into a report that had been published in an Israeli newspaper just a few days before the call, which spoke about a mass grave that exists in central Israel and that was dug to bury approximately 80 Egyptian soldiers who apparently were killed during the Six-Day War in a battle in the central part of Israel. And apparently this grave was dug to bury these soldiers underneath Kibbutz Nachshon, which is very, very central to Israel. And for those people who know their way around and have visited a few times, it's in the area of where Mini Israel is. For those people who visited that tourist attraction, we understand that underneath that site, according to at least the claims by the Israeli newspaper, and now being requested by the Egyptian president to look into this matter. Apparently, below that kibbutz, a grave was dug to bury these Egyptian soldiers. And there were stories that came out some time ago that apparently members of that kibbutz did complain about a very unusual smell that had existed apparently around the time that it was claimed that this particular grave was dug and these Egyptian soldiers were buried there. So Prime Minister Yair Lapid has acknowledged that this is a thing, and he's actually asked his military secretary to look into the issue, to have an in-depth investigation, and to return a response to President El-Sisi about what the Israeli authorities have found on this matter. And I'm going to be looking out for this very with great interest, because I think it's really fascinating that this comes out now. Why all of a sudden now is the story coming out? I mean, it could well have taken place. I just don't know why it's taken so long to come out.
Well, doesn't it say something very positive about the current state of the relationship that Sisi can ask him? Because when two countries are hostile towards each other and don't have a decent relationship, this isn't something that you could even broach. So I would say, aside from anything else, I think it says something very positive about the relationship between the countries.
I do agree with that, and of course between the two individuals, because even though the conversation on Sunday was the first time that Prime Minister Yair Lapid had spoken to President El-Sisi since he became Prime Minister, it wasn't so long ago that Yair Lapid, in his capacity as Foreign Minister, visited Cairo, and of course that the reference to that visit was made during the course of their conversation. So they have recently met, and there does seem to be some relationship between these two people. But Howard, I fully agree with you that the relationship between Israel and in Egypt is at a very, very interesting place right now. Even though the peace agreement was signed all those years ago with Egypt, it's been what they've called in the business a cold peace. It hasn't really been very much embraced. But slowly but surely, I feel that we have moved towards a much better place with Egypt. So when the peace agreement was signed, obviously we managed to avoid conflict on the border. And one shouldn't underestimate simply that benefit without any other warmth that might have come out. But just the fact that we haven't had a conflict with Egypt on the border has been a great benefit to the state of Israel. Since then, of course, there's been a lot of cooperation on the issue of Gaza, and now more recently on the issue of gas, because since 2020, Israel has been exporting gas to Egypt, and we recently heard that there's that agreement that's been signed for gas to be exported via Egypt to Europe. And of course, the gas that's being exported via Egypt and Jordan and Syria back to Lebanon. So Egypt now very much taking advantage of its proximity to Israel and its ability to help with these gas exports. And I think that this is causing a much, much closer more cooperative relationship between Israel and Egypt. So I fully agree with your view.
Well, one of our listeners, Michael from Galamana, says, please can you ask Anthony, when will the natural gas from Egypt have any impact at all on replacing the Russian supplies for Europe and Germany in particular, as we know that this is a huge problem for them?
So the simple answer to that is that, you know, if we're looking to make a huge difference in Europe, I think it's going to take some time, because I don't think Israel really has the quantity of gas, even in the with the best will in the world, to be able to really make that difference. But there will be small exports of gas going to Europe already within the next few months. I expect within the three to 6 months from now, we will see gas exports to Europe in relatively small quantities in order to backfill the shortage of gas that exists at the moment in Europe. And certainly by the time the European winter comes, I think that there will be Israeli gas being used in Europe in order to supplement whatever they're getting from alternative sources. But I think we are pretending to ourselves, if we honestly feel that Israel has enough gas to make that massive difference to Europe. It will make some difference, but clearly there will be the need for much, much greater gas supply from alternative sources.
President Herzog has returned from an official visit to the Czech Republic. What prompted the visit?
So this is a great story to tell about Israel's relationship with the Czech Republic, which of course goes back to 1948, when the Czech Republic, as it was then Czechoslovakia, supported the idea of the establishment of a Jewish state. And since then, Czechoslovakia and now the Czech Republic in more recent years has been seen as a great supporter of the State of Israel. And I think it was a very pertinent visit by President Isaac Herzog and his wife Michal, who flew out just very, very briefly, in order to present to the Czech president the Presidential Medal of Distinction. And the Czech president, of course, is President Miloš Zeman. He famously, back in 2015, when he was addressing an IPAC conference in the United States, he very famously said that we must all say, we should all say, I am a Jew. And subsequent to that, he's actually made the statement even in Hebrew, Ani Yehudi. He has said that himself in order to associate himself with the Jewish cause and to identify very, very strongly with it. And in fact, the presentation of the Medal of Distinction, which President Herzog did yesterday, was something that had already been initiated during the presidency of late President Shimon Peres and through the presidency of Ruvi Rivlin. And it's only now that finally the Presidential Medal of Distinction has been presented to the Czech president for the work that he's done. He claims that he is Europe's, that he's Israel's best friend in Europe, and he has very strongly supported not only Israel, but of course the Jewish cause in general. Not to say that there isn't significant anti-Semitism in his particular neck of the woods in the Czech Republic. Unfortunately, there still remains anti-Semitism there, but I think it would be fair to say that this is in spite of his efforts rather than due to his efforts. So President Herzog was in Prague and returned back yesterday after presenting the Israeli Presidential Medal of Distinction to President Zeman. It was thought that Joe Biden would be the first person to receive the Medal of Distinction from President Herzog, but he was pipped to the post again, this time
by President Zeman. He just can't seem to win it,
He just can't seem to be on a winning track at the moment. So, yeah, fascinating visit to the Czech Republic. And it just reinforces the relationship between Israel and the Czech Republic, Amazing. Which has continued to be good. And, of course, the Czech president working very, very hard to maintain good relations between the two countries.
Great story. This one confuses me a bit. An Israeli court has ruled in favor of online civil marriages. Just give us some context here.
So the context is that if you want to be married in Israel, then you are forced to be married under the rabbinical law if you're a Jew and you're marrying another Jew. Because if you are a Jew and you're not marrying another Jew, then it becomes very, very complicated indeed. And in fact, Israeli law doesn't even support the concept of two people from different religions marrying each other. So as long as two people come together from the same religion, then Israeli law would support you getting married under your particular religious
regime,
law. In other words,
that would be,
yeah,
right.
Exactly. So okay. Muslims under the imams and of course, Jews being married under rabbinical law. And even those people who want to have a quickie wedding, like a registry office wedding, as we would call it elsewhere, can turn up at the Rabbanut, and they will very impromptu do an impromptu putting up of a chuppah. They will do the erusim and the kiddushin, and they will do the breaking of the glass, and everybody will dance the hora around the chuppah, and half an hour later you can come out and you are married. And that, of course, is registrable under the Israeli Ministry of Interior rules. You can be officially recognized as being married. If, however, you don't want to be married under Jewish law, then you have no possibility of doing that in Israel. And therefore, many Israelis go abroad, even people who are of the same religion and who could theoretically be married in Israel, choose to go abroad simply because they don't want to be married under the rabbinical law. They don't want to be married by a rabbi. They don't want to, whatever they don't want to do. And unfortunately, in Israel, they are forced to do those things. And so many people go to places like Cyprus and get married there. And under Israeli law, a marriage that has been registered in a foreign country has to be registered by the registry of the Ministry of Interior in Israel. So you could come in from any other country having had a registry office between two different religions, and you would then be registrable in Israel. And what happened during the period of the pandemic when people couldn't actually travel abroad is that the U.S. state of Utah offered online civil marriage carried out by Zoom. Many people in Israel decided to take advantage of this and went online with the U.S. state of Utah, and they were married online and received official marriage certificates certifying to the fact that they had been married under Utah law. When these Israelis turned up to the Population and Immigration Authority of the Interior Ministry in order to register their marriage, then they were refused the right to register their marriage by then Minister of Interior and leader of Shas at the time, Aryeh Deri, who was the Minister of Interior. And he decided that this was something that could not be registered in the Population and Immigration Authority register because the individuals had been in Israel when they were married, and therefore it didn't count under this law of being forced to register marriages that had been undertaken abroad. Well, that all was turned on its head on Friday when some of these couples who were refused registration of their marriages in Israel took this to court in Israel. And a judge, Efrat Fink, on Friday ruled that the Population and Immigration Authority of the Interior Ministry is indeed obligated to register these married couples, even though they were married online while in Israel, because the law says that any registered marriage abroad is registrable in Israel. It apparently doesn't talk about the fact that they happen to have been in Israel or not at the time of the marriage. Now, this is a fascinating story simply because there are political parties out there, including Lieberman's party, Avigdor Lieberman's party, who stand for the rights of people who are not religiously affiliated in any way to be married and to have the rights like everybody else in Israel and not to be forced to do so under religious authorities. And this effectively breaks open all of those problems that have been experienced up until now, people wishing to have civil marriages in Israel, because in theory, you could just go online with the state of Utah. I believe they still offer that particular facility. And that marriage, apparently, according to the latest court ruling, is now forced to be registered by the Interior Ministry. It's going to be interesting to see whether this might be taken up on appeal, because this ruling was by the Lod District Court and could potentially be taken on appeal to the Supreme Court. But I think it really changes the whole lie of the land in terms of civil marriages in Israel.
Absolutely incredible as the world continues to change. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45.